Good evening, Remnant. Welcome to 7x70. I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope you enjoyed that song, Rise Up, Daughter of Zion. I want to share something with you here this May 6th, 2021. It was not part of their blood. It came to them very late, with long arrears to make good, when the Saxons began to hate. They were not easily moved. They were icy willing to wait, till every count should be proved, ere the Saxons began to hate. Their voices were even and low. Their eyes were level and straight. There was neither sign nor show when the Saxons began to hate. It was not preached to the crowd. It was not taught by the state. No man spoke it aloud when the Saxons began to hate. It was not suddenly bred. It will not swiftly abate. Through the chilled years ahead, when time shall count from the date that the Saxons began to hate. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Oh, Lord, I fear and look forward to as well this day that is coming, that Kipling wrote about. Lord, let us have, we desire to love you with our all of our heart, mind, and soul. And Lord, we desire to love our neighbor as ourself. Oh, Lord, in obedience to the commandment that Jesus Christ gave as the two greatest commandments. And Lord, we see that everything hinges on that. But oh Lord, the enemy comes up upon us. They are breaking down the walls. Lord, they are making their plans, as Psalms 83 says, Lord, shrewd plans to come against us, to destroy us. And so Lord, we cry out to you. Oh Heavenly Father, we cry out to you to save us. Save your people again, O Lord. Let there be a revival in the land. Lord, we pray for your people to return to you in humility and humble, on bended knee, Lord, as we are tonight starting this radio program, coming to you humbly, turning from our wicked ways, crying out to you. We pray this for the remnant, Lord. We thank you. Lord, thank you for this spring weather, this great weather that you've given us in its season. And we thank you for these beautiful days that you give us. And we thank you that you sit in the heavens and laugh. You laugh at the schemes of men, O Lord. Help us to do the same. Help us to cast our cares upon you and not to worry, not to fret, not to be overly concerned about the plans of the wicked. For Lord, we know that they will wither like grass and perish. And we thank you for that. We thank you. Let your spirit move throughout the land. And Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with me tonight, this May 6th, 2021. That Lord, I would glorify you in this broadcast and edify your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good evening, Remnant, and that was The Day the Anglo-Saxon Began to Hate by Rudyard Kipling. Pastor Peters read that many times, and Pastor Peters wrote a message. He wrote a short poem, and it's here on one piece of paper. I think it was cut out of a newsletter many, many years ago. Pastor Peters wrote this. It's The Day the Saxons Began to Love. 'Twas not part of their fallen nature. It came to them from above, with long arrears for godly favor, when the Saxons began to love. They were not easily moved. They were icy willing to wait, till their lack of love be reproved, ere the Saxons lost their hate. Repentant voices broken and low, spirits tempered as a landing dove, There was neither pomp nor show when the Saxons began to love. Simply preached to the crowd, it came without push or shove. Godly men simply spoke it aloud when the Saxons began to love. It was a sudden change, an idea that fit like a glove. For their foes not would e'er be the same when their God and fellow men, the Saxons, began to love. I'm glad Pastor Peters wrote that. And I think that it is, both poems, a type of two-edged sword or two-sided coin. Because if we love our God, can we not say, like Psalms 139 says, "Do I not hate those that hate thee, O Lord?" And if we love our families, should we not hate those that would wish to destroy our families? If we love our children, should we not hate those that want to and work and desire to destroy our children? And the answer is yes, we should. We should. And that day is coming. I hope that day is coming that we love our neighbor, we love our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and that we love our neighbor as ourself. But folks, we have to remember that there are Goliaths out there that are not our neighbor. And maybe God has put them in place. Maybe God has put them in the positions of authority to reprove us, to bring us back to Him. And we certainly deserve that. We do. But nevertheless, there are our neighbors out there that we are to love. And there are Goliaths out there. They may not be 9 foot tall and have 6 fingers and 6 toes. But there are Goliaths out there that are not going to repent, that do the will of their father, the devil, that steal, kill, and destroy, and they can't sleep at night unless they cause problems for me and you. So I encourage you, remnant, to pray. That is the only way to get through these days, to pray to the Holy Spirit, to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and to lead us in understanding and to give us wisdom and discernment in being able to tell the difference. Okay? The biblical premise of "by their fruits you shall know them," well, there it is. There it is. You know, today is the National Day of Prayer. And, there was a prayer put out by President O'Biden. He issued a proclamation today on this National Day of Prayer. But one word was missing. he just forgot to say God. Let me tell you what he said. He goes, "Throughout our history, Americans of many religions and belief systems have turned to prayer for strength, hope, and guidance. Prayer has nourished countless souls and powered moral movements, including essential fights against always gotta have it, racial injustice, child labor, and infringement." And the sorry old bastard has got to put that in there because that's what he is. He's a Goliath. He is a Goliath. "Prayer is a daily practice for many," O'Biden said. "Whether it's to ask for help or strength, or to give thanks over blessings bestowed." And he goes on through, and he never mentions God. So see, he doesn't say what God he's praying to. It's by their fruits. I didn't make this up. This is just a news article. This is just quoting what he said. Let's turn. Do you have your Bibles tonight? It is May 6th. We are live, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And we'll have the phone lines open this evening, 307-745-5913. Let's take a look. Deuteronomy 6:12. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, "Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord." Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord. Well, See, there's some, that is for us. There's some that have never known him. And that old Biden, I believe, is that way. So, remnant, you can use that, by their fruits, you shall know them. Okay? By their fruits. His word is true. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses. I love Deuteronomy 32. I do. The Song of Moses. How about verse 18? You neglected the rock who begot you, and forgot the God who gave you birth. And when you look a little bit more into that, you see that Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses, it is, it is a great psalm. It is an apt description of his people. You see up in verse 15, but Israel, it uses the term Jeshurun, but it's Israel grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek. And then we, is what it means here, forsook God, who made him, and scorned the rock of our salvation. We made him jealous with strange gods, with abominations we have provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known. New gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. And verse 21 says, they have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, and that is what we have done. We have put the traditions of man, idols, and as it says here, that which is not of God, we have put that above God, and we have more concern for that than we do for godly things. And this should not be that way, folks. We cannot forget our God. We cannot be like the so-called president of this United States that doesn't mention God in his proclamation on the National Day of Prayer. We can't. We can't and expect to survive. We absolutely can't. Let's look at Psalms. Psalms 9. Early in Psalms. Let's take a look. I want to go over a few scripture verses this morning, this early in this broadcast, kind of the morning of the broadcast, you might say. And I want to tell you about a couple of new books that we have as the broadcast gets on. And we have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. But Psalms 9, how about this? And you may think, well, what's a big deal for Biden to forget about God in the proclamation for the National Day of Prayer? Even Obama mentioned God in his Day of Prayer proclamation. Let's look at Psalms. Psalms 9:17. Well, why is it so important he mention it? Well, I'm going to tell you right here. Psalms 9:17. The wicked will return to Sheol. Okay? The wicked will return to Sheol. The netherworld is what the reference is. Even all the nations who forget God. The nations that forget God. See, they too will return to hell, is what it says. Remnant, we need to be praying for our friends, our family, for those out there that have forgotten God. That have. One more verse on this. Let's flip over. Keep going. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. How about that? Jeremiah 23. And this is, you know, the coming Messiah. This is God presenting to his people through his prophet Jeremiah the promises of Jesus Christ coming. Let's take a look. Verse 25 says, I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long? Is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsely, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams which they relate to one another? See, that is the intent of the enemy. That is the intent of those that hate God, is that they want to make his people forget his name. And I'm not talking about some Yahooey Fooey. No, the name is Jesus Christ. We do have to remember that. And we have a president in this system that won't even say, pray to God. Anyway, wanted to share that with you. I read that this morning. That's where this morning comes from. I saw that I'd put out a couple of texts that it was the National Day of Prayer. We do need to be praying and seeking his wisdom and his counsel. Had one other piece of current events I wanted to share with you. And this ties in. Our youngest turned 13 yesterday. How about that? Our baby, the youngest. We still have two at home, and the youngest became a teenager tomorrow. So I ask you, keep me in your prayers. Two teenagers at home. Whoo! Praise the Lord. They're great children. We are so pleased and blessed to have them. But time marches on, and children are a blessing. They truly are. It is too bad that more and more people don't see that. Saw this. See if I've got the date on it. I think it might have been yesterday. Maybe it was. Today or yesterday. Yesterday. Excuse me, May 5th. According to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, the U.S. birth rate sees the largest drop that we've seen in 50 years. Folks, that's in my lifetime. That's in my lifetime. The CDC announced that the birth rate for the U.S. fell again by 4% in 2020, the largest yearly drop in 50 years. The rate dropped across every major racial group and in nearly all age groups, falling to the lowest point since they started tracking it. The U.S. was once among only a few developed countries with a fertility rate above the 2.1 children per woman that ensured each generation had enough children to replace itself. But that rate has been sliding for more than 10 years, and last year, 2020, dropped to 1.6, the lowest rate on record. And this suggests that the current generation will not have enough children to replace itself. That's where we are, folks. That's where we are in this nation. And that's based on a review of more than 99% of the birth certificates issued last year. And it echoes a recent AP analysis of 2020 data from 25 states showing that births had fallen. And it was in... the U.S. birth rate dropped to about 56 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age, the lowest rate on record. That's half of what it was in the 60s. Half. Okay? Half of what it was. The birth rate for, teens, 15 to 19-year-olds, dropped 8%. Birth rates for Asian American women dropped. Birth rates for Hispanic women dropped. Birth rates for black and for white women, as well as American Indian or Alaskans. And so, folks, if you're not having children, again, let's go back to the Bible. You don't need to listen to me. Let's look at what the Word says, okay? Let's look at what the Word says. Let's go to Psalms. We'll start there. Psalms and Proverbs, that's as far as we have to go, okay? That's as far as we have to go. And let's look at Psalms 127. And again, Remnant, the phone lines are open tonight. 307-745-5913. Psalms 127. Let's take a look. I like Psalms 126. The Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. We are glad. Hallelujah. So Psalms 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. Children are a gift of the Lord, or the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Now that is a truth, remnant. That is a truth right out of the Word of God. And our enemy understands it better than we do. And we see how our enemy has manipulated the people to make them think that it's too expensive to have a child, or a second child, or a third one. And that, oh, they might lose their little figure, and it might take a lot of time and effort. And it's hard. And our enemy has done such a good job with the media of today, that all you've seen on TV for children, back to when I was watching TV, like the Partridge Family and even the black and white shows, is the little kids have just been little snots that nobody wants to be around. Well, that's not how ours are. That's not how our children at church are. That's not how the children in the families that I know are. But see, that's how the enemy has portrayed them. And most of our people just believe it. Children are a gift of the Lord. How would it be like if you're at a birthday party and you have a gift for someone and you give them the gift and they throw it away. They say, I don't want this. And they just throw it away. How would that make you feel? Probably make you mad, huh? It'd make me mad. Children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It is God's gift to us. And we don't want it. I tell you what we can do. We were in Deuteronomy earlier, not the Song of Moses, but right before it in Deuteronomy. It is the Song of Moses. Yeah, let's go back there. Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. Deuteronomy 32. Let me find it. Verse 8. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, or the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. And so see, the boundaries of the people's nations, the boundaries of where people live, is set according to the number of the sons of Israel. So let me tell you something, folks. You like these 50 states that you have? If you're not going to have the children to fill them, God will fill them with somebody else. And aren't we seeing that? It is Deuteronomy 32, chapter 8, coming true. Coming true. Whether you like it or not, there it is. There it is. Let's flip over to Proverbs. A little bit of Proverbs. And Proverbs 31. I didn't have these marked in my Bible, but I had the notes down. Let's get over there. Proverbs 31. Okay. Verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her. How about that? her children rise up and bless her. See, children are to rise up and bless their parents. Now, I was not a perfect child. And I have three older sisters and a younger brother. And they were not perfect either. But I can tell you that as they grew up, they rose up, they grew up and blessed their parents. And when I grew up, I blessed my parents. Because that is what children are to do. Well, what if there aren't children? Well, then where's the blessings? Do you see how our enemy understands this? Our enemy understands it. Now, I don't hold anything against anyone if you never had children. Okay? That's not what this is about. This is those that that today are choosing, and throughout our generations, have just chosen not to. And again, it doesn't apply to everybody because so many, you know, some people just never met the right spouse. That's just how their life was. And the Bible addresses that, and they can still be blessed and honor God and serve God. That's fine. And there's some that just never had children, couldn't have children or for whatever reason. But folks in this country, we're not having enough children to keep our society going. We're not even having enough to replace us. And that's one of the reasons that the southern border is wide open. And we've had over 100,000 invaders a month. February, March, April. And we're kicking it up again. Over 100,000. That's documented. And the Border Patrol says they average about 1,000 a day of just get-bys that they can't do anything about. So there's another 100,000 in 3 months. God is not mocked. That's just how it is. It is just how it is. Like it or not, this is where the answer is in His Word. It is. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it tells us that there's a time for all things. There's a time for birth. There's a time for death. There is. And, you know, there's a time for war. And there's a time for peace. A time for all things. Well, I tell you what, folks, we're going to have a song. I'm going to grab a quick drink of water. We'll have a song. We'll have the phone lines open in just a bit. Okay? They're open now. If you'd like to call in, 307-745-5913. Again, 307-745-5913. When we come back, I want to tell you about a couple of new books Jason found for us. Hey, you haven't heard about these. You haven't. These are brand new. We've got the Volume 4 Dragon Slayer newsletter that we're going to advertise them in. And we've got it ready. I'm hoping we can get that started printing Tuesday and get it in the mail next week. That's our plan. We'll be right back.
Come out of her, my people. Get on board for the Lord. The train's a-leaving.
Travel on! Is almost gone. I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on. Travel on. Trying to hold on to me from Babylon. three, trying to hold on to me, but I feel like I got to travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone. I got to travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I got to travel on. Travel on. Could ever have. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone. I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long. My race is almost gone. I gotta travel on. I've laid around and played around Babylon too long, and I feel like I gotta travel on. And I feel like I gotta travel on from Babylon. Travel on. Travel on. Travel on.
Amen. Bye-bye, Babylon. Amen, amen. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And like I mentioned, we have Volume 4 of The Dragon Slayer getting proofed this weekend. And we'll have it ready to start printing next week and get it in the mail hopefully by the end of next week. And we'll be glad to send that to you. If you don't get our Dragon Slayer newsletter, well, you should. We don't charge a subscription for it. We're glad to send it out. And if you would like it, you can contact us here at Scriptures for America. Our mailing address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email, preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And in that new newsletter, Volume 4, we're advertising two new books. I've got to hand it to Jason. He has just been on top of these farming and books. We've added several and can barely keep them in stock. The Regenerative Grower's Guide to Garden Amendments, which is an excellent, excellent book. The Dirt to Soil by Gabe Brown, The Journey into Regenerative Agriculture, and The No-Till Intensive Vegetable Culture, Pesticide-Free Methods for Restoring Soil and Growing Nutrient-Rich, High-Yielding Crops. And folks, I can tell you, you can do it. I'm doing it here. I put in a little 9x16 hoop house, a little garden. We put that in last year and grew, and we're doing our best to follow these guidelines. And it's, you know, it's tough to get started back with that, it is, but we're seeing it all over. Talked with Brother Paul at the prayer meeting last night. He's sure seeing it up in Michigan, and Jason is doing a great job finding these books. You know, Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And I can tell you, it is that way. It is true. And so we here at Scriptures for America, we don't want you to be destroyed. We don't want you to not know how to farm, to grow food. And so, again, Jason's done a great job finding these books. Two new books. Here's one, Farming on the Wild Side. How about that? And this book is full of color pictures. We just got these in. Boy, these are like a new car smell book. It's a new book smell. You know, here's a picture of no-till elderberries planted directly into the sod. Had a woven landscape fabric used as mulch, and just put right in. And just fantastic. Growing outside, growing in hoop houses, in greenhouses as well, both sides. Farming on the wild side, the evolution of a regenerative organic farm and nursery. And it talks about growing fruits, perennial plants, biodiversity, and resilience. And this is from Nancy and John Hayden. They spent the last quarter century transforming their livestock grazing operation into an agroecological fruit farm, nursery, and pollinator sanctuary. In this book, Farming on the Wild Side, they discuss the philosophical and scientific principles that influenced them as they reverted their property into a biodiverse, semi-wild state, phasing out sheep and potatoes as they embraced apples, pears, stone fruits, and uncommon berry crops, not to mention innovative marketing and sales strategies. And folks, when we're bringing you these books, and this is a great book, I'm looking forward to reading it. It is to help you become more self-sufficient, to help you get closer to God, closer to His plan for each and every one of us. We have gotten so far away from the earth and away from regenerative agriculture, which is, well, how we were for thousands of years. And we're sharing with you books that people have written that help you get back. I got a text from a sister out in Tennessee. And got a picture of her garden. I asked for that last Sunday. If you've got pictures of your garden, send them to me. And you can email them here to preacher@sfaw.org. I'm planning on talking about these books Sunday morning in the Scriptural Insight. And I'll share some of the pictures. But she's got a good-looking garden here. And, you know, talks about snap peas and snow peas and arugula and radishes, sunflowers and corn. And just a little bit of everything. And how encouraging it is. I get pictures from several of the members of the congregation that do gardens. And it's encouraging to me, and it's good for all of us. It is. So, new book, Farming on the Wild Side, The Evolution of a Regenerative Organic Farm and Nursery. And so, I'm looking forward to reading over this. I am talking about different varieties of fruits and stone fruits and apples and full of beautiful pictures of what they've done. Another great book that Jason found, the second one we're advertising this newsletter, is it's called Growing Good Food, A Citizen's Guide to a Victory Gardening, to Climate Victory Gardening. And this book looks great. I'm looking forward to reading this one too. I'm going to buy both of them. I haven't yet. But it talks about some of the changes that have occurred. And before you just, these aren't these left-wing climate change pushers. But I read what they talk about, like the change in the northern Great Plains, where our biggest threat to growing food is a very variable water supply and severe drought. And they're right on with that. And so, you know, we have here in the northern Great Plains, our temperature has gone up, our water supply has gone down, our springs, just like they say in here, have gotten wetter. The storms have gotten harsher, droughts on one end, and before you know it, you're in floods and mudslide, and that variable rainfall, that's a huge impact for us here. And so they're right on with that. They have great examples of building your plant bed, composting, you know, if you have healthy soil, what to do, if you don't, what to do. Just a great little It looks like a great starter book. It does. And you don't have to have 40 acres to do this. It talks about backyard gardening and just, you know, many different crops. And so it's got a it just does. It looks like a great book. I want to read you a paragraph out of it that caught my attention. And here it is. During World War II, victory gardens sprouted all over the country. The goal was to support the war effort. More food grown at home for civilians meant more food to send to the troops abroad. It also meant that trucks and trains ordinarily used to transport produce to grocery stores were freed up to move weapons and soldiers. And growing food at home helped families stretch their meager weekly rations. I remember seeing a ration card that my family had saved, and it was an actuality in this nation, folks. It was. I read on. Posters encouraged citizens during World War II to do their part with slogans like "Our food is fighting" and "Food will win the war." People who had never gardened before were energized by the prospect of helping the country, and many Americans gave it a try. Families rallied, clearing and planting vacant city lots, backyards, and schoolyards. People without access to land planted vegetables in pots on stoops and balconies. Others started rooftop and community gardens. Every piece of land was viewed as an opportunity to help win the war. By 1943, the nearly 20 million victory gardens all across the country were growing 40% of the nation's food. Think about that, folks. In 1943, that's only what? Not even 80 years ago. Individuals in these 20 million victory gardens were growing 40% of the nation's food. So, folks, it can be done. It's being done. If you haven't done it yet, if you haven't planned a garden, it's not too late. It's not too late. You can get seeds. These books, they are great starters for you to stir up. Oh, how to garden is in your soul, folks. It's in your DNA. It is. It is. I used to get a big hoot, a big laugh out of, how the Indians had to teach the pilgrims how to farm. No, the Indians didn't have to teach the pilgrims how to farm. They might have helped them with this locality, with farming up there in Plymouth where they landed. But folks, we've been farming since the beginning of time. Farming and ranching and being husbandmen and caring for this earth. A lot of that knowledge has been lost. And a lot of us just seem to be too busy to where we haven't even thought of those things. Well, folks, I've been thinking about it. Like I said, we put in a little hoop house last year, just a small one. But we grew summer squash, and we had great spaghetti squash. I can tell you that was one of our favorites. Even the children loved it. And I've got more going in this year. And I've got my little starts underneath some grower lights. That's how we have to do it, because we've still got frost in the morning up here. But it's not hard to do. If it's just a little vertical garden that you can do, if you just have a little small corner, whatever. There's many ways that you can become more sufficient, plan ahead a little bit, do what preparations you can do. And so these two new books, Farming on the Wild Side, The Evolution of a Regenerative Organic Farm and Nursery, and Growing Good Food, A Citizen's Guide to Climate Victory Gardening. And I like this one. I'm going to read a little bit more of this one tonight. And so, folks, good books to help out. Well, we have to do all that we can. We have an opportunity right now to prepare. Not screaming Y2K, but we do need to be prepared. What if those trucks stop running? What if those grocery store shelves are bare? What are you going to do, folks? What are you going to do? God can certainly provide for us. He has before. He has before. We have his word to where he took his people 40 years through the desert. Their clothes didn't wear out. And he fed them and gave them water in the desert. And he can do that again for us now. And he will if it comes down to it. But we also have the story of Joseph that had 7 years to prepare for the 7 bad years coming. Well, who knows? Who knows what tomorrow brings? Who knows what next year brings? Who knows what next month brings? I think we should do. There's a great satisfaction in doing that as well. Not that you have to go plant 20 acres, but just in planting and having and growing. There's a peace that's there. So I encourage you. I do. I hope that you will get your hands dirty. It's a great thing to do. It is. So, well, folks, I'm about done for tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Didn't have any calls tonight. That's all right. We'll want to invite you back Saturday morning. We'll have the full crew here Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll have some hot coffee. We'll have our Bibles out. And we encourage you to join us. We'll have the phone lines open as well. And that'll be Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. And so join us right here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers on Saturday morning. God bless.
Questions about what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, pray in the name of Jesus. Cannot stand when we come walking through in the name of Jesus.